who are we accountable to? Only really ourselves. So it's a case of, you know, checking in with yourself. Like, I think often thinking, what do I want? Like, what specifically do I want? And that, I think that's often a difficult question to answer, especially when there's lots of different things going on and we don't want to drop anything, but it's like, what is that bigger picture? And spending your time right, doing the research and watching videos and talking to the right people that inspire you on the journey you want to go down. So
I like that as the theme of this episode, you know, being your own mentor. When you were saying that, it kind of really resonated with me, because we've had business mentors through the gym that have helped us become extremely successful. But throughout that journey, we've always had the ability to remember.
Yeah,
we've got to understand who we are,
right?
Where we're based, where we're positioned, the location we're in, our ideal client, and all this kind of stuff. So although a mentor can give you advice and guidance on how to structure and put systems in place and all this kind of stuff, it's always important for you to make the final decision based on what you know.
And we are recorded, by the way, so we are going in deep, and that's like, literally, we don't need to announce anything. This is, we're just straight in rolling into the podcast, aren't we? So I've written that episode whatever. I don't know what episode this is, but it's episode now.
Hi, and welcome to the Going In Deep podcast. We hope you're keeping well. And for those loyal subscribers who are returning to listen to Ben and Ollie, we hope you haven't missed us too much. And it's something that we've missed doing ourselves. Unfortunately, you know how it is. Life just seems to get in the way. But it's not something that we're going to give up anytime soon. So thank you for subscribing and for returning to listen to this episode. If you're new to the podcast, if you've heard Ben or Ollie speak, or you've come across their social media platforms and you've been intrigued about the Going In Deep podcast, then welcome. Make sure you've subscribed. Leave us a rating and review to let us know what you think. And sharing the podcast really does help us to reach more listeners. Now, in this episode, in true traditional Going In Deep style, Ben and Ollie will update you with where they're at, go into those notorious tangents that we love on the show, but also, I'm just going to pick out one section that I'd like you to listen out for, because I think it's got some real, real value. And that being how we can be our own mentor. Now, I'm not going to go into any more detail now. I'm going to let you listen along and hear what Ben and Ollie have to say on it. And perhaps if you're interested, I'll drop my thoughts at the end of the show. But enough from me. You've waited long enough. Let's dive into episode now of the Going In Deep podcast.
Okay,
guy, how's it going, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thank you. How's it going, bro? Are you okay?
Yeah, good, man. Just a shocking night with Jax last night, mate. So, what always happens?
Oh, man.
When you got something the next day, but you're just in tears, crying. So, I took him downstairs, then realized downstairs it was like 3:30 in the morning. He was wide awake. I kept drifting off and waking back up, and he was still wide awake. So, I was like, man. So I brought him back up at about 4 a.m. and then he's just on and off. But he managed to go this morning and got him into nursery. So he's doing a half day today.
Flying around, dropping him off and getting
back. I just don't know. I don't know how he was had energy this morning, mate, because I was like, mate, we have not slept.
Yeah, fair play to him.
I suppose that's a beauty of a kid, mate.
He's got your DNA, though, mate. He doesn't need sleep. He's a mini beast.
We just need coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody give the kid a coffee there.
How are you, my brother?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm excited about this, you know, like getting in this morning and getting set up. He's just like getting the coffee and getting the whole setup. Just excited about it. So I'm buzzing to do this. And I've even done some like... on a pizza box with my chocolate pizzas. I've got some show notes.
not that we need them, but
you know what I mean?
Do you know what's funny though, mate? I'll tell you something funny that are we recording, by the way?
Yeah, I've just set record, yeah.
I wouldn't say on air, just thought I don't want to do what we usually do, which is talk before the podcast
stuff. Exactly. That's what I thought.
But I thought about it the other day. Not the other day. So there was some time recently, and I thought about it. whether it was something I was listening to, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, it is productive to write show notes. I think some, me and you have the ability to jump on a mic and do what we do, but yeah. I always respect the fact that you do always
just
before
a
podcast. Yeah, you'll just get some words down, mate.
It's not it's because good. I'm organised. Yeah, no, thank you, mate. It's not because I'm organised. It's because I'm excited, if anything. It's like I'm thinking of things. I'm like, oh, I think that would make a good topic in the podcast, and I don't want to forget it, so I'm going to stick it down. And it kind of relaxes me a bit as well. Like, it makes me think, yeah. Okay, I can relax and just enjoy the flow, but also know that it's there. So at some point, I'm going to grab it and pull it in. Do you ever listen to it, by the way? Do you listen to, like, past episodes sometimes?
Yeah, like, well, to be fair, when we were in the flow with them, I was listening to them all the time.
Just to get deep in that mind frame of, yeah, that's good.
And I think you said something to me as well, though, which was, and I've heard this a few times, and I think, again, it potentially just goes back to, and I know you said this about yourself, actually, so I think you just see you saw the benefit in it more than me at a sooner time, which is when you listen to yourself,
yeah,
you start to understand yourself better, and it can help you develop. So the same, like, listening back to going to some people record something and think, oh, I couldn't listen to myself. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of like where I sat. But then I start to see the power in jumping back in, because you start to see how me and you engage and communicate, and you start to pick up on little things. You think, yeah, we did. And you start to realize, like, that's quite, and you're listening back thinking, this is interesting.
And isn't it funny when you listen back, because you think to yourself, like, I'm hearing you say something in a past episode and it's making me think something now. And I'm thinking, did the past me think that same thing? And then I come out with it. So I'm like, oh yeah. So I was thinking that. Luckily, because I think it'd drive me mad if I listened back and thought, oh, I wish I'd said this. But I mean, I suppose if you do that, listen back to old episode like years later, you are bound to think of something else, because your circumstances are different, your experiences are different. So you, coming at it from like a future perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Mate, that's good though.
It is good. And we are recorded, by the way, so we are going in deep, and that's like, literally, we don't need to announce anything. This is, we're just straight in rolling into the podcast, aren't we? So I've written that, like, episode whatever. I don't know what episode this is, but it's episode now. We're living in the now, and this is episode now.
I love that. What's I listening to? There's something that I was listening to the other day, and it was, I think Liam's talked about this before. I think you've brought it up, whether it's in the group or not, which is, if you do over 20, I don't know whether this is still relevant to exactly this date.
Okay.
Because this might have been a couple of years ago, and I know podcasts have risen since then, I would say. But I've seen a lot of podcasts being created and disappear.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always said, going in deep. Like, me and you have always known that the spark has never gone. Like, deep down, we've always known, like, we're going to pick this back up. There'll be a time, even if it's when we were 60, there's 100%. Going to be a time when we pick this back up and get it back going. So we've always known that. But the stat was a certain percent don't get past 3 episodes.
Right.
And 99% of people don't get past the 20th episode. So if you get past your 20th episode, you're in the 1%. Of
a podcast that actually do go past that. That's crazy.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? And we do. I think I'm not right on the number, but I'm sure it's like 22, 23.
So even if we're doing one episode a year for 20 years, we'd still, like, I'd be happy with, like, we're in that 1%.
That's what the guy was saying. Yeah. No, you do one a month consistently.
Yeah.
Don't put pressure on yourself, do one a month, and you're already in the 1%.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
So yeah, no, I'm just. I think me and you've been buzzing about jumping back on a mic for a long time. I think we're just like you've put, we've both got busy life in the email and that you sent out. So hopefully something that we're going to move forward with.
Yeah,
we've just both got busy lives, a lot of things going on.
Yeah,
but we're very much in the orbit of understanding each other and being proud of each other for the movement.
Yeah, we don't ever get like, oh man, like, pissed off with it or frustrated. I think we both know that flame is always,
I get inspired,
burning.
Exactly.
Honestly,
to watch what you do and are doing and continue to do, the levels you go to, the places you go into. Oh, and we always talk about this, don't we? Like
you're
jealousy,
the same,
and resentment
in a different way. You're the same in, like, your with your self-discipline and the way that you push past your limits. but also help other people to do the same. Like, so I'm inspired by what you do. So it's interesting. Like, we're both looking at each other, like you say, maybe different levels of things, but very different, but also it is quite similar, because yeah, it's that pushing yourself mindset and mentality. And actually, I was going to do this thing where I say, like, you know, like Jay-Z, allow me to reintroduce myself. If someone's just started listening to this podcast and you were going to introduce yourself now, Ben, what would you say?
He's dropped it. So I am a self-development and mindset coach, and I'd like to think that has driven me on my own personal journey to become more of an entrepreneur, because I feel that progressing yourself and your life through passion, which can be a business, is something that has really opened my eyes up to build a better life for myself and my family.
Yeah.
And it's opened my eyes up to that range. So now, sorry, my throat's gone. This is the lack of sleep from last night.
Feel free to take a drink of water, mate. It's all...
Thank you very much. There we go. I just need to clear. I didn't want to do a big cough live on air. So yeah, like I said, self-development and mindset coach, helping people create better lives and a way of being internally or externally. But I like the ring of entrepreneur, and I know a lot of people, there's some people that dislike it and like it, but for me to understand that I've got multiple businesses and I'm able to put energy into them all, they all connect with each other and have the same kind of philosophies and principles about developing and being the best person you can be in life, whether it's health and fitness, whether it is your mind and body, whether it is being ambitious and going for things, is where my passion lies. And now to be in a position where I am coaching my passion, I'm teaching my passion and doing it from personal experience, as well as gain knowledge that I continue to do, sits me in a place where I feel extremely content with who I've become and who I now am. Wow. And not content in a way of I'm content and happy. Yeah, exactly. It's more content. Like I'm really happy with where I am at the minute. I still experience down patches, don't get me wrong, but I'm really happy with who I am and where my life is. But I still want to be pushing on and pursuing, because I know what that brings, and the motivation and the inspiration and the drive, the get up and go in the morning to work on something. And I think that is why, going back to the conversation we had a minute ago about me and you, why I love to just see you doing your thing, because it is, when I say inspirational to me, I don't just mean in a way of I'm aspiring to be like Ollie and do the things he's doing.
Yeah.
It's more so as well as that, just the ability you've got to always be executing on something. You are a wanted man for an exact reason of who you are, what you represent, what you deliver. You always show up and give 100%. And I think that when I see that, because we're not in touch as much as we were on WhatsApp, but to open social and see the things you've been doing, I sit there with pride, and that's what ignites me. And I'm like, he's going getting it. What's your excuse? And you're a personal person. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I've got loads of people in terms of role models in like Arnold Schwarzenegger, your CT Fletchers, your people like this. And they're always motivating me. David Goggins, on a daily basis, I can listen to something about, I'm out. But I'm like looking at you thinking, like, I know this guy.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's huge to me. Yeah, like you are a celebrity to me. You are huge to me, in my personal opinion. Looking at you, you are on that level. And I'm like, but I know this guy. I can reach out to this guy. This guy gives me advice. So cool. We bounce off each other, and he's just eating life up. So I know that's a bit of a tangent off what I was saying. But I wanted to pull it back in, because I feel it related to what we were saying. So in self-development, my mindset coach, definitely an entrepreneur, because I've got multiple businesses I'm pursuing. And just chasing a passion of helping people live a better life and succeed, really.
And you've got a great beard. It looks amazing.
And do you know what? It's questionable now. I'm questioning the size, but I had this determination to go, thank you, man.
Yeah, it really suits you. That was cool. Just for the listeners' context and the benefit to add, like, what you were saying here about the stuff that you see me doing. If somebody's listening who perhaps doesn't know what I do, like, could you give an example of something maybe that you've seen, or is there anything specific in particular, like of late, or is it more general, kind of generally speaking?
I completely know what it is. I think that I hope that I can say that I know your journey, especially over the last few years.
Yeah.
And you set out a couple of years ago to really represent Ollie Dunn as a brand.
Yeah.
Because you've come through your family business, which was very successful. You continued it as a chocolatier and became very successful in your own right. So you were still associated with your family business, but you created this separate entity, if you like, which was still associated with it, but it was you. It was Ollie Dunn, the chocolatier, and you created all this magical stuff and blew up and was so successful. But then you start to set out a goal. I always feel like I'm speaking in the wrong way. Like you might not
really
want me to say it.
To me. I love it. I love it. There's no wrong way of saying it. There's no.
And I just feel like you expressed to myself, you expressed to Liam, like you really wanted to signify yourself as a brand, as Ollie Dunn.
Yeah.
And the inspiration for me is to see the ups and downs that go with that. But the fact that you always stuck true to your values. You always stuck true to who Ollie Dunn was. Yeah. Opportunities always came about, and we believe a lot in manifestation, me and yourself.
Yeah.
And these opportunities presented themselves. You took the opportunities. You presented yourself as Ollie Dunn. And I said to you in a voice not long ago. Apologies.
Lack of sleep again.
That when I see you doing things around chocolate now, I see a different Ollie Dunn. And that's not to say you've changed. I just see the Ollie Dunn that you wanted to be and represent.
Yeah.
So when you're going to these corporate events, when you're going to these events and doing the pipes, whatever it may be, I feel you're now in a different mindset of who you are. I don't think you see yourself just as a chocolatier anymore. I feel you are stepping up as Ollie Dunn, as a brand, as a chocolatier, and delivering more than just the chocolate experience. More so, and because of that, which I'm hoping you're going to go into in a minute, so many more opportunities have arisen for you. So you've had so many more opportunities to represent themselves, which aren't just to do with chocolate. And it's because people are seeing you for you, who you are, what you bring away from chocolate, which is your personality, which is your mindset of life and your understanding of life. And it's just an amazing thing to see you kind of flourish. But that's how I kind of see Ollie Dunn. And I think what you
I love how you look at stuff. You look at the bigger picture, you always have done. I think your vision for me was very clear, possibly even clearer than my own vision for myself. Because like you could see something that could be nurtured and clearly you see that I enjoy like this sort of stuff, presenting, broadcasting, if you like. I've kind of like, obviously I'm a chocolatier and I'm presenting chocolate, but I've been able to transfer the presenting skill across to like away from chocolate and into like live TikTok shows and radio and different things like that. But I guess it's like I'm a broadcaster in a way, and I think we all are, you know, we're all kind of sharing our experiences online, and you know, I can't just be sharing, it wouldn't be authentic of me just to share experiences of chocolate, because that's only one part of me. It's a big part, but obviously there's other things that I do, like I enjoy dissecting life and discussing quotes with you and Liam and going in deep. So it would be wrong for me to you know, not show me being daft and dressing up or riding around on my one wheel. You know, those are all parts of me which make me who I am. So I think it's important to show that variety. And when I say broadcasting, like if I find something interesting that I want to talk about, then that is me effectively, you know, broadcasting sharing the thoughts that I have about things that are going on in the world or things that I'm experiencing. So, yeah, so that's quite exciting, because I feel like that opens up much wider opportunities, and hopefully in the longer term, I become, and maybe already am being, becoming considered by people as I've said before many times, I think it might have been Liam that coined the phrase more than just a chocolatier. Like I think as soon as I became comfortable with saying that, and I think often in life it's literally like if you become comfortable with saying something as part of your narrative and you sort of repetition, you say it on repetition, you become comfortable with that narrative. And I think that's a big part of the journey as well. It's me standing up saying, yeah, I am more than just a chocolatier. And I don't mean that in like an arrogant way. Like,
no,
it's more like the excitement for like, there's more here to be had, and there's so many more opportunities.
I think exactly that. And I think when you said it, it didn't come across arrogant. It came across, and sometimes this is something that I've seen over the last few years. And again, this was something that shocked myself about yourself, which was, I think sometimes you were so good in the world of chocolate and being a chocolatier.
Yeah.
And there's always, what I've now found is, even for someone who comes across very confident, there's always still some insecurities.
Yeah.
So I think for yourself, there was always that, probably in the back of your mind, I might be wrong here, but that little seed in the back of my saying, am I more than a chocolatier? Can
yeah,
I?
Exactly.
All these little, see, and it's not saying you didn't, but that's the beauty of you, Ollie. You believe in yourself, and you, even with those seeds of doubt and those thoughts that everyone has, you still think, no, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to go for. This is what I represent. And I think with that, just very, very quickly, that I personally believe that many, many people saw you more than a chocolatier way before you were able to say to yourself, I'm more than a chocolatier.
Right.
Because you've got to think of all the fit. Because what was the live talk you gave, was it Brood magazine? Was that
Brood,
what it was called?
Brood magazine. That was quite a big moment, actually. Yeah.
And that was about being kind of a dadpreneur, wasn't it? That wasn't necessarily about chocolate, because you were talking about your businesses, who you were now, the fact you were being a father, and they reached out to you to give your experience and advice and all this thing. So that was huge.
Yeah. It really felt like a moment for me in my journey, that, because I've always wanted to do, I think off the back of going in deep, a TED talk. And that was the closest thing as to a TED talk is kind of, but it was just literally me sharing my story, which I think is what it's all about. And what I'm passionate about is like storytelling, whether it's telling the whole story or what a story of something that I've experienced and learned from recently. And so it was that whole melting pot of like the stories with the kind of, I don't know, like the wisdom in a way, I suppose, of the things that I've learned, you know, approaching 40, just, it was amazing to see all these people just like looking at me and listening. I'm like, wow, I've not even got any chocolate here. I'm not like hiding behind the bowl of chocolate and stuff, which I have done for years. And it was just me. And I think that's what this has allowed me to do. Like I said in that first episode, there's nothing to hide behind. So then what I find myself doing is trying to entertain people and engage people, because I'm probably allergic to the idea that somebody switches off when I'm talking. I can't cope with that. Like if I'm that boring that you've got to like start looking around and going on your phone or something, I'm like, what? Oh my God, that's really embarrassing. So I'm anti that. So I'm on the sort of like creating the theater of the mind and telling stories in a way that evokes feelings, emotion, and being relatable, I think is important and authentic. And just on that note, you mentioned that we both have ups and downs, and very much so. Like there are days when I think, am I more than a chocolatier? Have I got more to offer? Who even cares? Like, am I even a good chocolatier? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to say that, because people might see different online. And this is why we do the podcast, because I'm not going to share those feelings that I've just said on an Instagram post, because that's only going to drag people down. But being on the podcast, we're being real and we're sharing what's real. And I think it's important for people to see that this guy isn't always Mr. Happy. He isn't always smiling. He does have doubts and fears, and like everybody does. So if you're experiencing that, you're not alone. You know, it's completely normal. And I think Ben's alluded to the same in your journey. You said earlier, we all have ups and downs. So it's important just to, I always like to ensure that we acknowledge that now and again.
And I think personally that's one of the reasons that Going In Deep grew so well, and we gained a lot of respect. I think we've talked about it many times, but in the early stages of Going In Deep, the amount of people that came up to me and said, I've been listening to your podcast, I really relate to it, and all these kind of things. And I think it's because, like you say, it does give you a good opportunity and space to be, and me and you were very honest people, I think that we're at this stage in our life, we don't really want to hold anything back. We want to be honest, we want to talk about things. And I think the space of a podcast, I think a good example is Ollie, a good friend, Jay Sky, is a presenter on BBC Manchester Radio. Yeah. And Ollie's been on many times, and thankfully through Ollie, I was invited on. And I said to Ollie, two things I said to Ollie. I need to say one thing because it relates into what I said to him before. So I'm hoping I'm not going to forget the reason. Oh, I need to jump this one in first. So when I went on the first time without Ollie, so I went on with Ollie. And obviously, it massively helps if you've got someone with you. And Ollie's super confident in a good way, and really kind of helped me feel calm and bounce off him and engage into it. The first time I went without him, I was like, man, I am nervous. Like, I'm going in on my own. I don't know who I'm going to be presenting. And what I always do is, this coming from the mindset work that I do, where it's like, okay, so let me put myself in Ollie's mind. Like, why is Ollie so confident? Why is Ollie coming into it and being himself? And maybe he has got nerves, but he doesn't come across. He's and I really kind of just attune myself like to, like, let's become Ollie, man. Right, and let's think how
so
Ollie
what,
thinks.
Just you said something really interesting. What is that then? That might be what you're about to tell me. So I apologize for interrupting, but I just wanted to be clear on that. When you said what is it that makes Ollie feel confident? I think you said. So I wonder what that is. Do you think?
I think. If I'm gauging what you're asking correctly, I might be wrong, so please say if I am. But I think that you've been very honest in terms of, because how early on you were put in front of customers and how much engagement you've had with people, I feel you've created, even though, you like you say, some days you might be feeling a bit down or you might have some negative thoughts going on or whatever it may be, I think because of the amount of experience you've had in dealing with people on all levels, all ages, different sexes, different attitudes, different personalities, and you've always potentially had to show up, and because especially when you are giving something to them and they're looking up to it, you potentially have to just kind of be a certain person, no matter what. Like you've talked about before, you might have a real shitty person in front of you, but it's still, I'm not going to be that bad to them. I'm still going to be the right person back in this situation, which is something I really admire you for as well, and I've taken a lot of that off you and hope I hold that now myself. But I just think through your experience, seeing you, I remember saying, I think I nudged you or said it on the break. I looked at you and said, mate, like you come, I was listening to you in the headphones, kind of like with pride. Like I sat next to you listening to you speak, and most people would have been probably thinking whatever. And I'm just thinking, man, this guy's mint. Like the way you speak, no nerves, no, nothing in your voice, very confident, very attuned to the conversation. And
so that helped you then? Just, so that shifting that mindset into like, thinking like, how does Ollie feel? Like the confidence that I maybe might feel. Did that work?
100% worked.
Yeah,
right. And it's what it's like. You're not trying to be that person, but what is that person possessing that you can take on board and utilize? And like you could look at it in any area of life. It's like health and fitness. Is there someone that you aspire to that's doing? Like, can you just think how they would think? Would they miss that workout? Would they not?
I would
do
think
this
to myself, would Ben quit now? I think not. So I will keep on going.
but this is the beauty we can take off people if we allow ourselves to, if we can be open enough to. So instead of sitting there resentful, thinking, why the fucking hell is Ollie so good at this and I'm not, like, I'm really resenting for that. It's like, no, like if someone's good at something, fair play to them. Let me learn from them. Let me understand like what I can take from that to be a better person myself. And this is what I'm talking about. I think we both have this great ability to be open to anyone and to see. And I think you said this to me, like, what can we take from everyone? In any conversation, and that's something about you. Like, and you make me laugh because some voice notes you'd be like, I went here with my dad, I went here and got chatting to this person. And it's just like, you just want to absorb people and energy in a good way.
It
doesn't matter who the person is, whether they're a famous celebrity or whether they're just someone who's just sat in the corner and keeping themselves to themselves. You bring something out in them and you take something from them and you give something back to them. And that's a beautiful thing, old man. I can't remember why I remembered it. Thank God. So that was the first one. The second one was when we went on there, and I texted you straight after our voice note, John. I said, it's weird being on air because you've only got a certain amount of time to talk. And I remember apologizing to Jay Sky because the conversation started to do what we do, which is kind of just kind of ramble. I go into it deep. And I think he had to miss one of the subjects because we were engaged that much. It ran over time, so we had to put the tune in. So I apologized and said, don't worry, this is better because it shows more kind of genuineness in conversation, in depth. Yeah. And I think I came off and said to you, it's tougher on air because it's like you're restricted to a certain time period. Whereas when we go on a podcast like this, like we've got time to talk. And also, I think me and you really allow each other, like I've spoken probably about for 3-4 minutes now, and you just sit there and listen and take it in and hear it. And then we have the inspired interruptions at certain times.
Yeah.
But I think
yeah.
going in deep has always given me and you
it's
the
like
opportunity to...
Yeah, it's like a rhythm, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I love it. But yeah, we speak at certain tempos, don't we? And think sometimes when you're live on the radio, you feel like you've got to speak at a faster tempo to get the thoughts or the opinions out quicker. So you're not like holding up the show. Whereas I think, which is not a bad thing, by the way, it's a great experience. And I think this is like totally free, isn't it? Just to keep on flowing. But just wanted to touch on something before I forget, which is when you were saying about what is it that makes Ollie feel confident, being in that mindset. And I think I've learned more so recently that it's literally about like trusting yourself, like having that trust in yourself. Like for me to come on now and talk to you and to the listener, but also to go on the stage and do the Brood magazine thing or the talk at the Cake and Bake show. It's like you get to a certain point, and I think it comes with age and experience, is that you just own who you are and you're not trying to put on an act and be somebody else. And therefore you'd be constantly trying to second guess and be thinking, am I saying the right things here? It's literally you get on and you just owning who you are, being as authentic as possible, saying what kind of comes to mind, whether it's kind of your mindset podcast like this, or whether it's something about chocolate, just kind of flowing with it, being in flow. But you can only really be in flow, I think, when you trust yourself that you're not going to sort of come out with something wrong or silly or subjective. So yeah, that's just came to my mind as you were saying that. What is that confidence?
It's a very interesting way to put it. And I think that I very much aligned with what you talked about, with kind of just being the truest version and knowing that you're being as honest, the honest version of yourself. Because I think it was interesting as I listened to you and I was doing the thing of like, I was thinking of what you were saying. And you're right. I think if you went in there being deceitful or trying to be someone you weren't, like you said, you would have this split second thought process in your mind going, you're not that, you're lying, you're this, you're that. And it probably starts to stutter.
Yeah, definitely.
Completely genuine. I think you do potentially go into that flow state that you talked about there. So that's a very interesting point now. But just wanted to ask, because I don't want the conversation to flow.
Yeah.
And you asked me, so I think it's only right that I ask yourself, because this will be interesting now after what we just talked about. So kind of like the Ollie done now.
Yeah.
Going a couple of years on from the first going in deep, like how would you describe yourself and where you position yourself now?
Interesting to compare, isn't it, back to the old, like you say, because with yours, I know you were sort of, you knew what you wanted to be, but you didn't sort of say it with such conviction about being a mindset coach, because you were sort of transitioning from being personal trainer, fitness industry, to kind of more mindset, which is where your passion was. So to hear you talk so passionately about that with such conviction and self-belief was really inspiring and
Thank you, man.
Great to listen to. I think for me, how would I introduce myself? I would still introduce myself as you know, Ollie the Choc, a chocolatier, family business background, passionate about working with chocolate, passionate about putting smiles on people's faces, kind of spreading happiness with chocolate for all ages, not just kids, but, you know, obviously I do a lot of adults corporate events, but also presenter, because as I said, I've been able to transfer that presenting skill across to other things. So working on radio, live talks, presenting shows for brands, creating explainer videos for brands and concepts and products. So going out in the streets, doing Vox Pop style videios with swizzles, asking random members of the public, like questions about marshmallows. So they got me on board for that. And I was really proud of that. They're a local business to me. They're great people and I've got a great relationship with them, but they are a global brand really. So to have had them inquire with me for that booking was phenomenal really. It wasn't like, can you make us this out of chocolate? It was like, are you free on this date? Cause we want you to go into Manchester with this microphone. So I'm grateful that I've got some of those things kind of on my CV, which is on my social media for people to see. Presenter, content creator, broadcaster, and thinker, you know, opportunist. I'm always looking at the next thing, and I'm sure that chocolate is the way that I connect with people and communicate with the world, almost like the icebreaker. But then it's like, what's next? What's kind of like the next layer? How can we move forward? And I think being in this digital age that we're in, I feel like I can be confident in my own skin, and I can get online and I can talk about whatever it is that I'm passionate about. So communicator maybe. I'm embracing, I think, the many facets of it, and being like I suppose multifaceted. And I don't think it dilutes. I think everything that I do connects and lends itself. You know, it's not like there's no clash or conflict. Doing this is positive for me, for my mental health, for getting up, gonna go make a video, making some treacle toffee for bonfire night after this. So that's gonna help my delivery. That's me.
Two things on that. I think the first one is it's really interesting, and we must have talked about this in a previous podcast, but it's really interesting that we both have something that was such a huge part of our identity that we don't want to lose. So obviously fitness for myself and chocolate for yourself.
Yeah.
And we got to a point where that it was such a big part of our life, it was never going to go away. Like, we want it a part of our life. It's our passion. It's our love. It's ingrained within us.
It's part of the identity. But
we both had this vision of progressing in other areas, in developing in other areas. And I think we both had that point where we were kind of captured in, and we just needed to break through and push on in these other areas, so we could have not necessarily get recognized in those fields, but that we could recognize ourselves as having experience, be able to deliver in those. And I think we've both done that, and it's just amazing how there's two different aspects but the same process, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Second one, I was thinking,
we both make recipes. We both make recipes. Yours is a workout, and mine is like treacle toffee, isn't it?
I love that, mate. What I'm gonna say then, though, and you're gonna hate this, but I need to drop it in. Like, it's funny now, right? That in the back in the day, that like, me and Ollie's nearly enough.
I love it when Ben starts that conversation with back in the day, because I'm bracing myself a bit.
Back in the day, if we were applying for the job, which believe me, I applied for many a job, it was a CV. It was writing down your qualifications, your experience, your history, your hobbies, your jobs, and all this kind of malarkey. Nowadays, as I know, because we own a business and we employ staff, your CV is very much based around your social media, and because it gives you a very good understanding of how that person is living, representing themselves and what they're doing. So yes, this paper and email CVs are still in place, but you will always potentially check up on the social media, which is not sneaky, it's allowed, and it's what we do. And I think that going off when you were talking about then, like you do modeling for, is it Whitfield and Ward?
Yeah. A term that I struggle with, I think I've probably mentioned this before, but when people say, I always struggle to say the word modeling. It's something I've always felt like it sounds like really vain. So I'm always like, so I do like some stuff with Whitfield Award. Like,
but do you know what's funny about that all is you do more than model for them. This represents, and I know Ollie hates it when I do this because it's like I'm bigging him up, but I'm only doing it because for valid reasons. I would never do it if I didn't feel it's justified.
Yeah.
But I hope they don't mind me saying this either. But Whitfield and Ward potentially started off utilizing you as a model.
Yeah.
But recently they've utilized you just as much for content creation.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I've seen their Instagram posts and reels now with you involved, and they're very different.
It's a really good example.
I believe that yes, you went modeling with them, and that was the step in, but they've then seen a bigger depth within what you offer, your experience, your knowledge with content creation to help endorse and grow a brand, and that's what you now help them with as well. So I just feel
the bigger picture, always on the bigger picture. Mate. I love it. I don't often think about it in such depth, but you're right. Yeah, it is building the brand. Yeah, that's an amazing thing to be part of, really.
And that's only come from you, and that's what I get. That I personally gained off of you. Haven't generally had a specific mentor that said do this, do that on social. What you've done is, you've listened to stuff and watched stuff, but you've always thought, no, I'm going to try this and I'm going to do that. You've created your own experience and knowledge and success. Yeah. And that is what you can now give when you go. And I'm sure when you go into somewhere to do whatever, it's the, and again, when you had your when you had your team involved and you got people into, and it, this, I always laugh about this because you brought people in specific areas to help you in terms of video and marketing. Not that you didn't have the knowledge, it was the time more than anything. Yeah. You got these expertise in, to come and help you. But within 4 months, you were doing it all yourself and to a high standard. And it wasn't like you got rid of them. It just started to mold a different way. But your quality of end product by doing all these things yourself was just phenomenal, mate. Like the videos you do and how That's you create them, how you cut them, how you record them, how you do all this. And it's just like, because it's your passion, you embed it, you learn it. And then your end product generally is from yourself. And it's...
And it's like you said about having not necessarily having a mentor, but it's kind of about being your own mentor, isn't it? I suppose, because we've not really got who are we accountable to? Only really ourselves. So it's a case of, you know, checking in with yourself. Like, I think often thinking, what do I want? Like, what specifically do I want? And I think that's often a difficult question to answer, especially when there's lots of different things going on and we don't want to drop anything, but it's like, what is that bigger picture? And being your own mentor in the way of like spending your time right, doing the research and watching videos and talking to the right people that inspire you on the journey you want to go down. So
yeah, I like that as the theme of this episode, you know, being your own mentor. When you were saying that, it kind of really resonated with me because we've had business mentors through the gym that have helped us become extremely successful. But throughout that journey, we've always had the ability to remember.
Yeah.
We've got to understand who we are,
right?
Where we're based, where we're positioned, the location we're in, our ideal client and all this kind of stuff. So although a mentor can give you advice and guidance on how to structure and put systems in place and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's always important for you to make the final decision based on what you know, if that makes sense. And that goes back to being your own, because if you're not paying specifically for a mentor in business or in a specific area, it could be in fitness, a personal trainer, whatever it may be, and you're just seeking advice online, which there's huge amounts online now, but it's then you being able to understand, right, how can I take this information and apply it in the best way possible, and also to understand if it, like we talk about a lot, if it fails, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's right, okay, so it didn't work, what didn't work? Why didn't it work? Maybe it was the right thing to do. I just did it in the wrong way. Or maybe, not to do that again now. And we move forward. And so many people stop at that point.
Yeah.
But I think me and you being the people that we are, if we fail, it's like, okay. So actually, sometimes I feel it fuels us a little bit more. I think with me and you especially, I think if something doesn't go exactly as we want it to, like it's like, right, I'm going to really put something in place now to make it happen.
Definitely. Well, I mean, they say, don't they, like having been given a no, let's say you're knocking on doors and you're getting loads of no's. Well, a no isn't a bad thing because a no is another step in the direction of a yes. So that's, I guess, linked. It's like, it's fine. I learned from it. It's progress because you're refining it. You're working out different approaches and different ways of doing things. So if a failure or a no is closer to the solution or closer to the yes. Yeah, man, I love that. I'd love you to give a challenge out based on the being your own mentor at the end of this episode, some sort of homework or challenge or call to action as you do in Ben style. And if you want to go away, think about it, that's fine, because I'm putting you under a bit of pressure there. I appreciate
No, it's cool.
But it could be just something like really really small or big.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'll be able to do that easily, mate. I think that's amazing. And I think that'd be good to start doing on this show. I think that we've got a real passion for trying to help people. And I think something we always talk about quite a lot is such having an open mind. And I think myself and yourself are very good. And I put a post out about this not so long ago. And it's like, everybody sees the world differently. Everyone's been brought up differently. I've experienced different things. I've been treated a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Have listened to certain people, been involved in certain groups, gone to different schools, colleges, grown up raised by different parents. So especially when you start to become a bit older, it's understanding this person is not necessarily trying to, I know there are some people that they do on purpose, but certain people aren't trying to be obnoxious or be arrogant or be a certain way towards you, rude, whatever it may be, or say things to rattle you up. They're just honestly speaking their world and their views and how they see it. And I think that very much the old Ben got wound up a lot. But the Ben now is just understanding, man, this guy just, or this female just sees it a lot differently than me. They've probably had different experiences. And there's times where it's a case of just stepping back and allowing them to have their space. Maybe stepping back and understanding, well, I wonder how they form that view, but not necessarily kind of creating a friction around it. And I think that's something that that me and you share, because I think that we're so open to understanding and awareness. And I think something we also are very aware of is beliefs change. Like something that Ollie believed 10 years ago, you might not believe now. And same with myself. So sometimes you can fight thick or thin in a belief, but it's concerning that in 5 years' time, you might not have that belief. And yet you were so forceful on a person about it.
True.
Do you know what I mean? But what I wanted to pull it back to. Yeah, definitely. Because again, I've not spoke to you that much. And please talk to me about Paris.
Oh, mate. So
the whole experience. So what you were doing over there. But so I just got your Instagram because we weren't as in tune with the voice notes. Yes. But as always, that for me is just beautiful. Like whenever I see you pop up, I smile. And it just looked amazing. I saw Kim's stories and stuff as well. So
brilliant.
I think
the
listeners want to know what happened in Paris.
In Paris. Yeah, we were so lucky to have got an inquiry from an AI company based in Paris for a corporate event. So that came through the agency that I work with, Scarlet Entertainment, and they wanted me to go for one event. It's like a 3-hour chocolate lollipop making station. So people were just coming over. So you're talking like it was mainly men. So it's like guys in suits coming up for, you know, the French, Americans, English. And it's all very visual. So the language barrier wasn't really a problem. And I was practicing my French as well with, like, you know, I'm not fluent in French, but I know a little bit. So it was nice to I always like to make a little bit of an effort out of respect in that way. So that was really nice. And everyone was really friendly. And it was coming over, making a chocolate lollipop. And then on the back of the lolly was the company branding, like it repeated across the back. So when it peels off, it reveals the company brand. So that was really cool. And they loved that. And they could do any shapes they want. So once they'd had like a couple of drinks, they were all coming over. And it was good. It was a good laugh. We had a good laugh with everyone. And it was a busy station. So I was really proud that, because it was a bit slow at first. I thought, you know, these guys have booked me, you know, sent me on a plane and an accommodation and pay me well for this. So I really hope that everyone's going to get something from it and that it'll be great feedback. And it really was, like the organizer had said that it had taken the event to the next level from kind of being a conference to being a fun event. So they had like conferences throughout the day, which I'm sure were fun and interesting as well. I would love to have sat in on those, especially regarding AI. But it was brilliant. Yeah. So we had like we got there the day before and we got to the venue, dropped the stuff off. It was nice to know that the following day I would just go without having to carry anything, just travel there and set up. So we had two nights and went out and did what we do best, like eating and drinking and enjoy some nice places, some that Kim had been to with her parents in the past, reliving some memories and just enjoying the city. Beautiful place. I think fell in love with it a bit more this time from last time. I think it's like that, isn't it? When you go somewhere more than once, you start to learn more about it, you understand it and its people and its culture a bit more. So really enjoyed it. The second night we finished and we were like tired, but adrenaline was pumping and we're like, we went back to a bar near where we were staying, which is in the 12th arrondissement, which is like outside of Paris. And then it was like closing and it was quiet around there. And we were like, no, we just want to go somewhere, sit down, have a pizza and a glass of red wine. And we basically got in an Uber and went into Paris to this little district, which we'd been recommended. And we were like 1:30 in the morning, just sat with like, you know, like these little restaurants with the seats out the front and they've got like blankets that you put over your knees and you just like watching people go by, enjoying pizza. It was amazing.
Did you do a story at that place with holding up a glass of wine?
I did. And then the guy was like cutting the pizza with scissors. Yeah. Did you see that? He like romantically cut it with scissors and gloves on. It was like, it was rhythmical. It was like art.
I love it.
And you know, that experience wouldn't have happened had we gone, should we just go to bed? Like, we just didn't want it to end. And we were like, how often are we in Paris? We're going to be knackered tomorrow. I've got to get back. Yeah. I've got a chocolate party the next day. Halloween edible slime making at Frankie's in Disney. So it was straight back to that. And I was tired, but, you know, you got to think to yourself sometimes, how often are we in Paris? Let's just make the most of it. Even if we're going to be a little bit tired tomorrow, it's worth it. We'll get through it. The adrenaline kept me going. And that was a crazy week, because then it was off to Hamleys in London, where I did an edible slime. And there was like 40 kids, and they were like celebrities' kids. So they'd organized it as like a pre-store opening event for Halloween, all these like celebs and their kids. And then I did sort of a show for the public, showing them how to make the edible slime. And my mum and dad came and surprised me to watch, which was amazing because I didn't know they were coming. And it was just great because they got to watch me sort of in flow, in action, just loving it.
I love that, mate.
And it was a proper challenge as well. Like, I was like dripping with sweat at one point. Kim was like melting the marshmallow for the edible slime. She's like, are you all right? Can I do anything? I was like, it might not look like it, but it's all under control. I was like Britney Spears microphone. I was mic'd up. I was running around the place. I was doing chocolate mustaches on people's faces, including some of the celebs. And it was just hilarious. And it was such a buzz. So I went for a pint with my dad after it. And I was like, on the ceiling. It was like such a good high. Yeah, it was a real high.
I love that, mate. And it just epitomizes where you are in life to be doing these things and to enjoy it. And like you say, a lot of people in that predicament would have probably been feeling the stress and the strain and been worrying and making mistakes, but you just embody it, mate. And like you say, there was obviously an element of stress subconsciously within the body to be sweating, but consciously Ollie Dunn just shows up and does it. And you always bring that element of fun. See, I kind of just imagine you running about and putting mustaches in and having jokes and still being in control of doing everything, and testament to yourself. And I love the fact, like I've always said, like I love how close you are with your family. And your mum and dad, and you've got a great bond with your dad, and me having Jax and you having Romy. I think that's something that we really feel that bond with parents, and I love that. And your mum, I've got a lot of time for. She's always been beautifully pleasant to me. So the fact that they went down and you got a pint with your dad, and it's just amazing, these things. Do you know what I mean?
But
what was the Uber scenario? Because I've seen a picture of that on your social. The most equipment, and I'm like, mate, so that wouldn't even fit into a house, and you've ordered an Uber. Like, they must have turned up and thought, what?
Oh, mate. So the logistics around that that event were ridiculous, because I'd obviously just got back from Paris, and then it was event, and then London, and then so it was like, but also I had like one of my best mates, Luke's 40th, which I went to, as you know, that the night before. So I basically went to his party for a couple of hours, made sure that I'd see him, catch up with him. He just climbed Machu Picchu with our great friend Andrew. So them two had done that for their 40th. So that was incredible. So I was hearing about that. I actually got to the party before Luke and I had a chat with him when he arrived. And I did like a little speech as well. Just wanted to like mark the celebration, the occasion, say some, you know, words about him that, you know, were important to me, you know, short and sweet, but you know, it just felt like I just wanted to do it. So, straight down to London, car full of stuff. So Kim's already down in London with her mum and Romy. And I, had to get all this stuff down there and then get an Uber from the car. So I parked the car near the hotel.
Did you take all that on a train by yourself to start with?
In the car. So literally all the stuff was in the car, which normally, obviously, that's how I would travel to an event. But then London is such a different animal, isn't it? Like getting around the place. You can't exactly just like park outside Hamleys and unload, because it's like the busiest street in the country. So, and you can't get on the back because it's pedestrianized. So it's like, how can I do this? So I parked the car near the hotel. So the next morning, we went to the car, we ordered an Uber. I'm getting all the stuff out the car and into the Uber. And as you've seen, it was like chocolate machine, microwave, box of equipment, like suitcase. I'm like thinking, this guy's just going to laugh at me. And I said, I've got like quite a bit of luggage, I called it. I ordered like a big 6-seater. And I said, you don't need to do anything. It's all clean. I'll do the lifting it in. He was like, okay. He was quite chilled. He was a really nice guy, actually. Got it all in the back of the Uber, and then get it out of the Uber into like, got this one of these folding trolleys that like concertinas out, and then chuck everything in there round the back to the stage door, and then in the lift. So logistically, then doing the reverse of that, getting it back in an Uber at this point, that, you know, it was all not too bad in the morning because London was quiet. It was beautiful to see London when it's so still and quiet.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So cool. And then on the way back, obviously it's buzzing, it's busy, these people everywhere. So we're like, there's a loading bay outside the front, and the Uber pulled in there, which was good of him. So we managed to get it all. So it was crazy. But even like the logistics of that, so I'm glad you brought that up, because that I could have said, this isn't possible. How would you expect me to get all my stuff across London, including a chocolate machine? And to be honest, I could have got away without taking the machine. But right. I had this conversation with my mum. I was like, it's part of the theatre, because the chocolate's green. It's all going. It's the theatre and the fun. And
is that the machine that I see yours where it's spinning. It's got you. Yeah, it's just the visual. Even just watching that's amazing.
That's it. People are coming over to it, taking pictures of it. It's got like my chalk and roll sticker on the front. And my mum said, no, you've got to take that. I was like, right, well, my mum's saying I've got to take it. I've got to take it. It's going. I'm getting it in the Uber one way or another.
I love it.
So the guy was like, so what are you doing then? Like random edible slime at Hamley's, like you do on a Sunday morning.
That's so
nuts,
funny.
Isn't it? Nuts.
The funny thing is, though, how many people is he told that to?
Yeah, that's
like, you'll never believe it when it picks up today.
You'll get some random madness happening. And even London cab drivers think that's a bit unusual.
No, he's brilliant. Like, this is what I'm talking about. And this is what I love about social media. I always talk about it. And the positives of social media, if you follow the people that you want to follow for the right reasons,
yeah,
it can really kind of paint an amazing picture. And I think that's just me. And I get an insight into your life sometimes when we haven't touched base, just by kind of watching the stuff you post, because it is so honest. It is, you like to show a lot about you, your journey, yourself, your life.
Yeah.
And that's what, again, this is something that I want. I want to see that, and that inspires me then to push on, and sometimes not even inspired to be pushing on, but sometimes just be inspired to kind of see you enjoying life and enjoying what you do. Yeah. And it just helps ground yourself, to remind yourself what it's about sometimes. Do you know what I mean? It's a lot of people can get, like, I can imagine a lot of people getting very stressed in that circumstance, having to get all that equipment to London, having to fit in a best mate's birthday. Do you go, do you not go? It's a big event, but you made the decision to go to support a best mate and to be a good mate and to do what you did there. Then to get down to London with all that equipment, anything could have gone wrong. But you, like you say, you was like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this equipment. I'm going to get in there. You went in there, you delivered. And then you had an amazing time with your family after. And that, for me, is inspiration in itself, just to see that being done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that, mate. Yeah, it does. I read this quote. Watch the slight tangent, but it is linked, so bear with me. But Steve Jobs' speech from the University of, which one was it now? Stanford in America, 2005. This quote actually isn't from that, but it says, this is by Steve Jobs in 1993. Being the richest man in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. Going to bed at night saying we've done something wonderful, that's what matters to me. So that links in with what you've just said, because definitely that night going to bed, I'm just still buzzing with the excitement that I've been able to, fortunate to be involved in such an event and to help create this atmosphere and excitement and great memories for people. So, that's the motivation. So, more of that, hopefully.
But I'm sure there will be, mate.
And touching on to your side, mate, because obviously I know the listener would love to find out, and I certainly do, because we haven't had a chance to catch up in depth. And often when we do catch up, it's more like philosophical than actual real life.
This is good.
Like 15 minutes about like theories and stuff, emotions and thoughts, and which is great. It's like therapy. But what have you done in particular of late that's really made you feel really excited, like in the way that I explained that, or have you got something coming up, so past, present or future, just excitement from your side?
Yeah, without that, I think me being myself, there was a lot of evaluation that went on, especially when I went away not so long ago up to my mum and dad's. They've got a place up in Amble, and I went up with the wife and my son and my dogs. It's a very secluded place. well, quietish, not secluded, but it gave me a lot of time. I went in a very positive mindset. There was no real reason for the break other than to spend time as a family. But we both said before we went away, because the last time we went was just after I had my boxing fight.
Yeah.
And I kind of like hit this bit of like a low, emotional low, just kind of put so much into the fight. And I ended up drinking a bit and not being productive. And I went really low off it. Mm-hmm. So we both agreed this wasn't just me, Rachel, what had the same mentality. I think she was the one that said it. Right. It was like, let's go. Let's make sure we cook a lot at home. Make sure we go to bed early and wake up early so we can enjoy the day with Jax. Make sure we train. Rach trained every day. She was really proactive on it. So it turned into a very productive time, and it gave me a lot of time to evaluate. And I think that Benchmark Gym is grown unbelievably successful in terms of the bricks and mortar, as my business partner likes to call it, with bricks and mortar gym. Yeah. But we wanted to bring in the additional aspect of a form of kind of like lifestyle self-development that associates itself with the health benefits of training at Benchmark. And my business partner respects the work that I do. When I got obviously qualified as a psychologist and worked with mindset and self-development, and he wanted that to become a part of Benchmark. So that's a project that I'm now working on to put in. So that's a very proud moment to be able to bring that into my gym that I own.
What exactly will that be that involved then?
So say for, and this was my transition from a personal trainer to a mindset coach. But when I did that, I came away from personal training altogether, because as you well know, mindset and self-development then became more of a passion to help people. Fitness is obviously a passion for myself personally, but the coaching aspect went more to mindset and self-development. But as I well know, most people that are chasing a fitness goal struggle to achieve it generally because of either the limiting beliefs they hold about themselves, the way they talk to themselves, the emotional reactions they have to things that happen within their lifestyle. Something happens, they emotionally react, they don't feel motivated to train, or they feel emotionally they need food or drink or whatever it may be. But also understanding your lifestyle has the biggest effect on your results.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's, if you're after something and you think, right, I want this specific body shape or this specific fitness level, you have to have the ability to say, right, I need to prioritize this, be potentially some sacrifices and all this kind of stuff. Right. But the flip of that is what I said to a lot of people is, if you're struggling to transition to be as solely focused on the aspects of achieving this result, is it truly worth it? You've got to ask yourself that question. And if you actually turn around and say, no, I still want to be able to eat pizzas and drink alcohol, I want to enjoy that, but I still want to be healthy.
Yeah.
Then you need to give yourself a bit of a break and say, right, okay, I want to enjoy both sides. I want to go to the gym and enjoy it and be healthy, but I also want to enjoy eating. And so it's helping people understand themselves more and understanding what the goal is. So that's what we're bringing in. And it's understanding, how can I make my lifestyle work for me to be the best mentally and physically, realistically.
So is that like a one-on-one thing, or is it like a program that's written?
It's going to be an online product that we offer for Benchmark members to start with, but hopefully the growth will go above that and beyond that because it works nicely into obviously the work that I do myself through B1 and the one-to-one coaching that I do. And B1's been in a bit of a transitional process as well. And it's very much, we started off as a limited company because it came from my own personal one-to-one coaching. And then because of the moves we started to make through the NHS in terms of them believing in the project, passing us to be able to be utilized within their services, we transitioned from a limited company to a not-for-profit company. So that's been not necessarily a battle, but there's been a lot. A not-for-profit company is very much different than a limited company. Yeah. So there's a lot of different angles you need to go with it and a lot of things you need in place. So behind the scenes now, that's getting worked upon. But then myself, I'm just trying to continue. And this is something that I think me and you talked about and something that I try to look up to you for, which is, I'm trying to be a lot more consistent myself in delivering information that I feel is valuable to help people, whether that is for a business perspective or just for a life perspective. So again, my Instagram channel, I try to deliver something that I think will be of value in some way, shape or form, not necessarily for a return. I'm not after money. I'm not after clients. I'm not after selling something. I just feel, can I give something that I'm thinking about reading, researching, or just something that I feel passionate about And now yours, as I always say, it's not the right thing.
You do that very well. You do that very well.
Take on. But thank you for that, man. I appreciate it. But again, and that's just something that I think is a value of my own. And I think it's more so definitely now I've had Jax. I think that I want to present myself and give out information and advice around my experiences and my knowledge that hopefully some people resonate. Because what I try to be as real as I can. I don't hide any punches. I think I remember texting you in our earlier days saying, Ollie, like, I know I swear a lot. Is that going to impact you and the people you with and your brands? Because I was dead worried and concerned. And you were like, no, mate, you need to be yourself. Because I think you understood. I'm never doing it at someone. It is generally passion-based. So I always love and respect you for that. But I just feel that that's what I love about going in deep. That we can have these conversations, because I think there's so many people that have reached out to me about going in deep and about other things and said like that really helped me gain perspective. I really resonated with that. And I think there's a lot of people that since that bracket, but I think something that me and you shine is we are very in touch with our emotional side.
Yeah.
We're also very logical and think things through. But we're very honest and open about that. And I think that helps people, especially guys, but also females, start to think, oh man, I understand what these guys are saying. I relate to that. It starts to make them feel better and comfortable, as I do from other people having spoken. And I've taken something and thought, man, I resonate with that. And it's helped me just by hearing them speak honestly about their life and their thoughts and their emotions, things they've been through. And then you relate to it and think, man, yeah. And it just strengthens you as a person. And that's what I hope that going in deep and me and you can offer people as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. It's. I think this has been a really powerful episode. I can't wait to drop this. I can't wait for Liam to hear it, and can't wait to get it out there. So, I was going to read another quote actually, which I think ties in with being your own mentor, particularly in the way of your perspective on life and day to day. So here we go. I'll read this quote. This is from his Stanford speech, 2005. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life, because almost everything, all external expectations or pride or fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. So he lived by that mantra like that.
I love it.
Steve Jobs, what an inspirational visionary in everything that he did with Apple and Pixar and that's
just a technology
quote,
in general, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And he's clearly saying there that he lived his life, and he does expand on this in the speech where he sort of goes on to say that he would ask himself every day, if today was my last day, would I do what I'm about to do today? And if the answer is a resounding no, on a consecutive number of days, you've got to basically challenge yourself to do something about changing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of being accountable to yourself, isn't it? And being your own mentor.
Yeah. With 100, it's a very, very powerful statement that, and funnily enough, I heard the chap on a pod. I'm listening to a podcast at the minute, and that was one of the things.
Oh, okay.
That he brings up. I'm just going to see if I can see his name now without.
Okay.
Alex Hormozy.
Okay.
And I will send it through to yourself. But something he said was very similar. The fact that we are all going to die one day, whether it's tomorrow or 40, whatever it may be. Like, is the thing you are worrying about worth worrying about and not acting on what you want to act on, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think what you just
trivial.
Said there, mate, is...
It all melts away in the grand scheme of things. Nothing really matters.
And I think that's something to also bring in, not just, I hope this is taken the right way, but not just the death of yourself.
Yeah.
But I think when you have someone close or just someone pass away that... really kind of think that friend star, is it Matthew Perry?
Yeah.
And I think I think sometimes it just gives you real perspective on life. Yeah. And it's like that death is the ultimate kind of aspect that most people, not necessarily scared of or worried about, but it's just like, When that happens, we're not here anymore.
Well, yeah, we're completely gone. Like,
we are gone. Like,
we can't do any of these things.
Exactly, mate. So it's
like, what's there to be done? Everything. Literally, we're here and everything is there for us, isn't it? Waiting for us to go and get it.
100%. And also, like, I think if you speak to most, it also, he brought up in his podcast that he used to visit his granddad a lot before his granddad passed.
Right.
And his granddad always used to speak about regrets. And I think potentially when you get to your 70s and 80s and hopefully 90s,
yeah,
you probably do look back and think, like, you're in that mindset in that age of, like, why didn't I bloody go for that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm 90 now and I'm restricted in my movement, in what I can do and all this kind of stuff. When I was 20, 30, 40, 50, why the hell did I not go for this? Like, what was the worst thing that
I had it all going for me? What was wrong? I didn't believe in myself. Why not? I was good enough. You can see it. But yeah, it's hard. It's not easy. But that's a really good perspective shift, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, mate.
They say that about your kids, don't they? There's like a quote, like a meme or whatever on Instagram. And it's like, if your kid's like playing up and you're getting pissed off and fed up and you're like, losing your temper or becoming impatient or frustrated, it's like, just think, fast forward, you're in a nursing home at 90 and you're looking back on your life. You'd do anything to go back to that day when your son or daughter was a kid, you just having a bit of a tantrum. You go back, you'd give anything to have that tantrum again, really, realistically.
Yeah, to enjoy the tantrum.
Be like, this is temporary. Everything's temporary, because on the other side of the tantrum is you're having a good time and enjoying life and each other and love and joy. And it is, you do that so well, that bigger perspective on life, on your life and on other people. That's why you're such a great mindset coach, is the empathy that you've got. It's the understanding. It's the vision of where you want to be and where your clients want to be in their life. And you know, like you say, there's no formula. There's no like, this is what I think you should do. I think you should stop eating that, stop drinking that. You're like, no, actually, what do you want? What brings you the joy in life? And how can I help you to nurture that and to embrace it, embrace who you are, but find your balance and be happy. Like, happiness is the ultimate, isn't it? So,
and I know we're going to get on a bit in time here, but I think it fits in with this. And I think we've talked about this before, but I feel me and you are very, not lucky, that's the wrong word, but I think we're very blessed that we have really capitalized on the world as it is in this day and age.
Yeah.
So we have passions, we have things that we have interests in, hobbies, work projects that we feel passionate about, but we are capitalizing on them in a day and age where you can be so creative, also so flexible with time. So me and you are able to spend so much time with our families, our wives, our sons, but also family extended from that.
Yeah.
And we're really embracing what this day and age can be. And I think that if you have a passion, it can be created into work.
Yeah.
And just something you kind of touched on then that I think is important to kind of talk about. I think where me and you both sit in life right now is like, yes, we still have days where we're triggered and stressed and people do something or something happens or whatever it may be. But on the wider scale of that, I think yourself and me have gained this good ability to be very happy with life and to understand like, this is a journey. We need to enjoy it and embrace it. And listening to you talk about Paris and about London, and even when you talk about your kids' pies and stuff like that, or Nosley Safari Parks, all the stories, I heard your voice when you were voice knowing me. Like, we're just enjoying it, embracing it, because at the end of the day, we're on a journey of growth, we're on a journey of expansion. But if we can't enjoy the moment that we're in, like, what are we trying to grow and expand for? Because that's always potentially going to be there. Like, why wait? We've always said this, but why wait to enjoy life or be happy when you can be it now? And the only person that's stopping you from being happy in this moment is yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
A journey of expansion. That's, I love that. It's so true, isn't it? And there's no destination. It's the journey of expansion is the expansion. It is the journey. So it's just the now. It's that. It's like, we're not waiting for this ultimate prize. It's ongoing. So that's, I love this. Enjoy the now. Episode now.
episode now. Mate, so I love that. We've got to slam that. Like the last episode of Going in Deep is episode now.
Now, yeah, you don't need to know what number it is. It's just right now. It's fresh out of the can. This has been juicy. I've loved it. Have you got some sort of challenge or call to action or homework?
I think it's got to be led, like you said, into this mentorship idea that you've kind of brought up tonight and talked about. And I think it's brilliant. So what I would speak to people about is think about an area that either you're struck, is definitely an area that you want to continue to go forward in. So whether you're struggling in that area, but still want to succeed in it, or you're just trying to succeed in an area, try to look at someone who's already succeeding in that area. Okay.
Yeah.
And just start to understand what they are doing, and even deeper than that, how they apply themselves into life. Can you listen to some, have they been on a podcast? Have they written a book? Can you see how they think about things, their attachments to things, and don't embody it as that is exactly what I have to do. But can you just take them on board? And the best thing I ever got told that relates to this is, if you can have like a role model / mentor in your head around a specific area, and when you're about to do something, just quickly say to yourself, would this person have done that to get them to the success they're trying to get to? And if the answer is a resounding no, question whether you should be doing it.
Okay.
If it's, I think they would be doing it, then it's going to help guide you to take the action, but you will be taking it as yourself, because obviously it's yourself, your life. Yeah. But what it starts to do, it's like you've kind of got this inner mentor, this inner guidance to say, yeah, this is something that I should go for. And I think just to highlight that, it might be something that you're really scared or resistant to doing, but you know it should be done, but you're really resistant. So if you ask yourself, would this person be doing this?
And
like Gary Vee is a great example for me and you on social. Yeah. If me and you were ever resistant thinking, should I put this out? Gary Vee comes on us and says, get out there now. Just do it. Like,
on all platforms, you don't repurpose it.
It's like, if it, what's the worst? It's kind of, even if it's wrong, it's right, pretty much is what he's saying. If you just believe in it, even if it's wrong, it's right.
Yeah.
And he, like I say, you were the you and him have been my biggest inspirations to move forward on social media with no fear if I believe in what I'm delivering. And that's a great example here. Him in my head or you in my head would make me make a decision that's right for the journey that I'm on, rather than listen to a limiting belief that holds me back thinking, oh, someone might not like that, should have put it, is it sounding right, rah, rah, rah. You're always pulling yourself back. So a mentor, an internal mentor, can help you possess. So can you think of an area you want to proceed in, progress in, and can you look out for people, whether you know them personally or you don't know them, but they're succeeding in that area, and just start to think about how they would apply themselves, the actions they would take, and that will help you hopefully progress.
Love that. In an area. Love that. And start that today. Start that right away.
Yeah, man, without a doubt. And let us know. I think there's something, like, me and Ollie are extremely excited about Going in Deep. We always have been. So please drop us messages to let us know. And again, your thoughts on anything we speak about in the episodes. We love to hear different opinions and different views. So we can always bring that up as well. If we hear something interesting, we'll bring it up and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, 100%. That would be awesome. So yeah, please do that. Any sparks of, like you say, Ben, any thoughts that you've had that have come up that you'd like to add? Like, there's we talk about the third mind, and in this case, the third mind is the listener. So yeah, you are the third mind. So whatever's coming into your mind, feel free to contribute, and we'll be sure to pick up on that on the next episode. But I think until next time, you know, just remind yourself, live every day like it's your last, because one day you'll be right.
I love it.
Cheers,
guys. Mate, thank you for listening.
Stay curious.
Yeah, cheers, old man.
Keep going in deep.
Going in deep, brother. Thank you.
Awesome. Cheers, bro.
Wow, what a powerful episode. Thank you so much for listening in to the end of the show. We hope you've enjoyed this. If you have and you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe to be notified when new episodes are released, to share it with somebody else who you think would enjoy listening along, and to share what's come up for you, even in written form, or we always love hearing from people in a voice note. So get in touch using the social media links that you can find in the show notes. Now, as I said in the intro to this podcast, that being your own mentor section was really something that I've taken on board. It's all well and good thinking about and being told inspirational stuff and looking for inspiration with other people. But actually, we need to walk the walk. It's all well and good having ambitions, having goals, but if we're not taking the action, if we're not looking at ourselves and holding ourselves to account with the person that we want to be, then we're not going to make any meaningful change. And it's something that I'm certainly taking on board. So let us know what you think, if what steps you can take towards becoming your own mentor. And we look forward to catching you very soon in the next episode of the Going In Deep podcast. Take care, and we can't wait to speak soon.